The reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 49 through to 56. Now, if you want to follow it in the church Bibles, you will find it on page 1046. That's Luke, chapter 12, starting at verse 49, page 1046. Jesus said, I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He then said to the crowd, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, it's going to rain, and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say, it's going to be hot, and it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Never mind. No sleeping now. If anyone nods off, your neighbour will wake you. I just want to start by bringing a greeting from Sean and Joyce, who I know you haven't seen for some time. They're working really busily up in Colchester, running their new church there. But they're also pretty busy still linked with the Mombasa church, which we have a really good new couple in there, a Kenyan couple. The guy used to work for YWAM, so he's pretty switched on. He's running his own business as well, so it's really going well, the church. And we're hoping to get back there in January. Anne and I are transitioning a bit now into our own ministry in terms of going on mission. So the missions from Barnabas' point of view will be run by Anne and myself, and we're doing about five next year, including Kenya, four to Romania. We've still got one this year to do in September, and we'd really value your prayers for that, and also for new people to come. Might even be sitting here, you never know. So greetings from all of us in Barnabas, and thanks for your support. Please continue to pray. We are looking at this chapter, Luke 12. I've got 15 minutes, maybe 14 minutes, 35 seconds, I'm not sure, to do this. So let's focus. Until it is completed, I've added, what should we be doing? The message that today is for all of us. But I want you to think about the fact that Jesus was speaking these words to his disciples, but actually he's reaching through time to us. All that he's saying here is for us, not just for those who were present at the time. Jesus was the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and he knew us yesterday, today, and he'll know us tomorrow and in the future. So bringing these words to you today, it really got impressed on me that it was for the now. Let's not think of these, it's something Jesus said 2,000 years ago. It's for the now. Through the mists of time, Jesus is speaking to you today, and he's here with us. But the question I have for you is, what are you doing? Thank you. What are you doing? What are you doing for Jesus? Why do I ask this? Now let's look at the scriptures and we'll see. Whenever I get a text from scripture like this to preach on, I look at it. I don't know about you, you've heard it. You may not have read it, but if you do read it, you might just read it and think, what's that about? And that's exactly what I did. What's that about? What am I supposed to bring? So I prayed about it and I really thought, I need to understand it. And to do that, you have to look either side of that scripture. It's no good just reading that, take it out, go home, read it, think, oh, well, what's that meant to mean? And that's what I did. So in chapter 10, don't panic, I'm not going to do all the 14 chapters, but we're going to do a rapid 100 mile an hour through, okay? Chapter 10, Jesus sends out his 72 disciples to harvest the lost and heal the sick and preach the kingdom message. But he gives them specific instructions on what to do and how to do it. Because of that, the disciples returned with joy and success. They did what Jesus said. If this had not been done, we would probably not be sitting here today. Then we have the Good Samaritan example of what we should do for our neighbour, showing love and compassion. Followed by Jesus teaching us how to pray, how to help our friends by giving them bread. Even if it's someone else, ask, and it will be given, Jesus says. Jesus then describes his power over Satan and how he drives out demons by the finger of God, he describes it. And that this means that the kingdom of God has come to you. And the people ask Jesus for a sign. And he uses the story of Jonah to predict his own forthcoming crucifixion. He describes the lamp of the body as an example of how we should be in the world. We should be a light. Now the six woes are an important lead in to chapter 12. Jesus basically tells off the Sadducees and the Pharisees for their inability to see the future and the changes that are coming in the world. Namely, the kingdom of God was here to stay. But not as they saw it. They didn't realize that they couldn't stop the changes any more than they could stop the sun coming up or going down. They were hanging on to their laws and practices to feel secure. It made them feel comfortable. And why change? But sometimes we have to let go of our securities to move on to other and better things. I remember this morning, I've just made a note, when I was in Africa, I heard a story about a bird that lived in a tree. And this tree was a flourishing tree with fruit. And the bird loved that tree so much, he never left it hardly. Didn't need to, he had all he needed. But one day he flew away for a short time. And he came back and the tree was burnt to the ground. He had nowhere, he had nothing, he had no tree. He was very upset about this, but God inspired this bird to fly. And the bird flew, and he flew, and he flew. And eventually, he came to land. And he landed in an orchard that had so many trees, and lots of birds. And they all had trees. And this is the hope God brings us, is that despite things that happen, we have his hope. That because things may go wrong, God tests us and leads us to a better place. Jesus describes how riches will not get us anywhere through the parable of the rich fool, which you all know pretty well. Jesus also tells us not to worry because he is in charge. But we do worry, don't we? If you don't worry, put your hands up and we're all going to come and see you for counselling later. So now we're actually halfway through chapter 12. We haven't looked at the text yet. And we will find Jesus telling us to be prepared because something big is coming. He's telling the disciples to be prepared for his return, but before the crucifixion and resurrection have even happened. And that's what he's saying to us today. In the same way, through the time he was talking to us, be prepared, be ready. I want to go to part of Luke 12, verses 35 to 48. I'm going to read that out. It says, Be dressed ready for service and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet. So that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or toward daybreak. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Peter asked, Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? And that's a question that comes through time as well, because you are the everyone's that Peter's referring to. The Lord answered, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It'll be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. Truly, I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose a servant says to himself, well, my master's taken a long time coming. And he then begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and to drink and to get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. The servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with a few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded, and from the one who's been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. I was reminded when I was reading this that when we've been in Africa, I mean, you all think about Jesus coming back and we're waiting, oh, it's never going to happen, when's it going to happen? You lose the expectation. And then when we used to go to churches in Kenya, quite often the roads were terrible, the vehicle broke down or whatever, and we could be like 3 hours late for a church meeting. And In the beginning, I used to think, well, there's not going to be anyone there now. But actually what happened was, instead of not being anyone there, there were more people there than there were at the beginning. And they were singing and everything else, waiting for us to come. And this is how we should be in terms of Jesus coming back. Our expectations drop as life gets longer, doesn't it? You think, oh, he's not coming back in my lifetime. But the warning Jesus is saying is to make sure you're ready, and there will be punishment for those unprepared people. And then in chapter 12 again, verse 49 onwards, he spells out the way it was going to be. Divisions among families and friends about the return of Jesus. And we all know family and friends, don't we, who are unbelievers, and how we've argued with them about our faith. But do we persist? Well, we don't persist because we don't want that division which Jesus describes, because it's uncomfortable. We don't want that person walking away from us every time we meet them, because we're going to say, have you come to know Jesus yet? Or perhaps more delicate words, like, you know you're going to hell if you don't believe, things like that. Interpreting the times is referring to when he is returning. The end times, just as described in Scripture, however, do we look for them diligently? Or just say, well, no one knows when he's coming back, so nothing we can do about that. And Jesus is saying, interpreting the signs, come on, let's have a look at what's going on around the world. In 54 to 56, he said, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, it's going to rain, and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say, it's going to be hot, and it is. Hypocrites, he says, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret the present time? I'm going to say a terrible word now. At the moment, we're all involved in the Brexit situation. We're trying to foresee what will happen or how things might change. You know, 2 weeks ago, I thought Boris Karloff, as I call him, he's saying all the different things, isn't he, that's going to happen. And then suddenly we've got Ken Clark presented as a potential prime minister. And I'm thinking, what's going on? I don't understand this. It's all changing. Nothing solid that you can grasp onto and say, that's what we're running with. Not that I'm pro anything, really. But interpreting those times now is difficult. The only thing we can predict is that change will definitely come. Orson Welles said once, permanent change is here to stay. Jesus is trying to make us and those who were with him understand that changes were coming, but no one could or can recognize it. They couldn't recognize it then or even today. However, after all of these parables and prophecies and healings and those different things, Jesus goes in chapter 13, which follows on, straight into repent or perish. And he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but he couldn't find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, fair enough, cut it down. The parable about the fig tree is a bit frightening because I think it's actually about us. Or is it about us? We're given opportunity to change. Jesus might say, well, we need to send them away as unbelievers. They're not doing what I want them to do. But this person is saying, let's put some fruit around, fertilize this tree. Let's give more effort into the people around us. Those unbelievers we're not willing to talk to. They're the ones that are going to be cut down because they don't believe. So I come back to my question for you again. What are you doing for Jesus? Are you full enough of the Holy Spirit to produce the fruit of it? You see, you might feel secure in the fact that you have salvation and think there's no more room for you to do, no more for you to do as you stand. You stand on the promises of Jesus and think that's enough because you don't need to do anything. Jesus did it on the cross, you might say. But there is a task for all of us to do. It may be you're unsure of what you should be doing for Jesus or who you are in Jesus. You may not have realized that you should have been doing anything at all. However, Jesus says here that we should all be ready now, not tomorrow. We are here, not just to have the best little lives that we can and then die, but rather to live with our arms and hearts linked with his, working for the kingdom that will never end. And the truth is that once you have experienced the wonder of partnering in the eternal, mere survival will never satisfy you again. As we finish, I want to recommend Matthew 24 to you. It's a better chapter to read to stimulate your senses to the urgency of our actions. I haven't got time today to go through that, but basically it tells the same parables, the same messages as Luke 12, but more clearly. And in Matthew 24 and verse 44 it says, again, so you also must be ready, because the Son of